What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Prometheus Chats. My name is Eric Davis, and this is part two of our Prometheus Chats. These are roundtable conversations regarding Ridley Scott's Prometheus, and this is part two. We're going to delve a little bit deeper into the film. We're going to discuss some of these unanswered questions that we have. We're going to kind of tunnel ourselves through the down the throat of this, of the body cavity of this film, so to speak. And I have a fun little roundtable today. We have Jordan Hoffman, whose writing appears on sites like Screen Crush. What's up, Jordan?
Hello, and I didn't know it was pronounced Prometheus. I learned something today.
Yes, it is. I also have Jermaine Lassier, who you can find writing over at slashfilm.com. What's up, Jermaine?
What's up, Eric? Let's go Giants.
Let's go Giants. And lastly, and certainly lastly, my buddy William Goss. He's a critic and writer for sites like film.com and MSM Movies. What's up, Will?
Nothing much. Go sports team.
Go sports team. So, like I said before we even hopped on this call, this conversation can go for 2 hours. There's a lot of unanswered questions that this film proposes. But let's kick it off. I don't know how you guys feel about the film. Part one of this conversation, I had Sean O'Connell and Rick Marshall. Those guys loved the hell out of this film. I don't know where you guys are at. For me personally, the longer I've sat with it, the more I've appreciated it. I think the general consensus is that it's a fun film. There are some great moments. It's beautiful to look at. The script is a little bit messy. There are some plot holes that may be plot holes because they're setting up future installments. Some people are fine with that. Some people would like a little bit more of a complete movie-going experience. I think that kind of is the general consensus.
Absolutely, 100% in the other direction for me. The more time away from the movie, the more I dislike it.
Wow.
When I left the theater, I was pretty jazzed because it is so visually stunning. It's the most gorgeous movie I've seen in a long time. But, you know, when a couple of us went out for drinks afterwards, we were kind of picking at it and poking at it. And now it's been, I don't know, 5 days or so. And with each day, I'm thinking, wow, they really screwed the pooch. It really is a bad movie.
Wow.
And I'm flatly at this point in the anti-Prometheus camp.
Okay. Before we get into to tackling some of these unanswered questions, Jermaine, do you agree? Do you disagree?
I agree with what you said. I think the movie's really fun and entertaining. I think the more I've been thinking about it, the fact that I am thinking about it just means, okay, this is a good thing. But I also feel like they just tried to do way too much. I mean, this conversation is definitely going to delve into the fact that there's so much going on in this movie. If they would have focused it like the original Alien did, it probably would have been a lot better.
Will?
But I like it.
Will, where are you at?
I generally like it, but I'm on the side that every time I've spent dwelling on it has mostly been on picking apart the scenes, and so I keep trying to remind myself how much I enjoy the parts that do work really well, but I do think it's a question of how ambitious the film is, and I do think to a certain extent people who, I don't want to make such a broad generalization, but I think there's a certain attitude out there that just because it's ambitious and what's been a particularly mediocre summer after the Avengers, that should forgive it for its shortcomings, but I certainly feel like the scope of it is right, and the feel and tone of it, it looks gorgeous. I just feel like it kind of screws the pooch in the third act, and we can get into that later.
The scope certainly does merit a discussion and an analysis that other films don't. I mean, for example, we're only a couple days away from seeing Snow White and the Huntsman, and that was a much worse film than Prometheus, but I'm more angry about Prometheus, and I'm going to be riling about Prometheus for months because, you know, it had such potential and there is so much that's good in it, particularly the art direction and the cinematography and whatnot, whereas, you know, a piece of garbage like Snow White or just, you know, other ephemeral films, you know, I'm not going to bother, you know, toiling about.
Well, Eric wouldn't have done a bunch of roundtables if we didn't have such high expectations for Prometheus. You know, it's a Ridley Scott movie. It's co-written by Damon Lindelof. It's supposed to be in the Aliens. Yeah, I mean, we all had much higher expectations and anticipation.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said, though, about walking out of a film. And it's not just in New York. And I'm upset that I wasn't part of that debate, Jordan, that you guys were having, because it's happening at other press screenings. And groups of critics are coming out and they're debating this film. And it's good and bad. And there's got to be something to be said for a film that makes you want to talk the hell out of it. So Jordan, I'll start with you since you guys had this really passionate conversation following the New York press screening. What is your biggest unanswered question?
And
what is your best answer if you have one for it?
Okay, absolutely. And this is a spoiler zone. I mean, yes. Everybody's we're going to give it all away
before,
here, right?
Yeah, before I begin, I said this in the last time, but look, this is a spoiler conversation. We can't dive into this film unless we spoil the hell out of it. If you haven't seen it yet, go watch it and then come back and listen to this. And if you're listening to this and you haven't seen it, I don't know why you're doing that, but just click stop and just come back after you've seen it.
All right, so the big frigging question, and I sort of have an answer, but why does Fassbender poison the dude who knocks up Noomi Rapace? Is that how you pronounce the name? Rapace? Rapace?
Rapace.
Rapace.
And what's the dude's name who plays him? He's got three names.
His name is Charlie.
All right, Charlie. Why does Fassbender poison that dude?
That's actually the first question that I have written down. Why is Michael Fassbender's David so damn shady, and why does he poison Noomi's boyfriend, Charlie?
Because has there been advanced recon on this planet, which isn't LV-426, but LV-223? Has there been advanced recon They know that if you manipulate with the evil black goo, you can create a thing in a female body that could come out and one day be used as a weapon, as blah, blah, blah? Because it seems like Fassbender's character saw Alien or something. Like, it seems like he knew what to do. But how did he know?
I don't think – I read it as – he was just testing it, and he didn't really maybe have a connection with that guy. And he was just like, all right, well, let's put a little drop in here and see what's what. But, I mean, that's not a great explanation. That was my explanation.
I think that I thought about the kind of the mythology of Waylon. And I know that, you know, I'm not an alien kind of junkie. I don't know everything there is to know about this franchise. But I was under the impression that Waylon was trying to kind of use some of these alien technology as weapons to bring back to Earth that's come out in previous incarnations or installments. I don't know if that's something that they were already working on prior to this ship launching. But it does seem like Fassbender's character has a lot of information. He spends years on this ship researching dead languages and all sorts of things. And so you feel like maybe part of that research is him getting some of these details that we don't know.
But how? If nothing's ever landed on that planet before, how would he know?
That's what we don't know.
Now I have an answer as to why he did it.
Why?
I have a theory anyhow.
What?
I can't understand how he knew how to do it, but I have a theory as to why. There is a conversation that he has with the guy, the Charlie, about, you know, why God created man, why man created androids, the need to reproduce, the need to create life as something inherent in things that are alive. And David is the classic Pinocchio / Lieutenant Data android character. He wants to be human. He can't procreate, but he can tinker around with the black goo from the stuff on the planet and try and create something from there. So that gives him motivation. The question is, how the hell did he know what to do? And why be evil about it? Why kill people?
Yeah, and that's something that the film doesn't really explore, go into further. Is this a setup for the next one? We don't know. I mean, that's a lot of these plot kind of holes. Are they setups? And does that mean that we should excuse them because he's setting up something to pay off
later? To me, it's silly, and then I'll shut up. But the thing is, in Alien, there is a lot that's unexplained. There are little, you know, whiffs of the backstory that you get, the company, you know, all the sort of mythology, which is very wisely, it's very spare in the original script, but it's all backstory that fans have dwelt on over the year. The whole space jockey thing, for example. But with Prometheus, it's the meat of the story that we're not getting told. And that, to me, is just inexcusable, regardless of the fact that I think the principal thesis of this film is there are things that you can't know. You don't know why God created man just to kill man, which is the whole point of this movie. And that question shouldn't be answered because that's for your house of worship, not for a theater. But the point that there are so many other peripheral things that we don't know drives me up a freaking wall. And I'd be curious to hear what other people thought were some unanswered questions as well.
Jermaine, what is your biggest unanswered question?
I have about 10, but I'll go with number one. When exactly does the first scene of the movie take place in the structure? I think it obviously takes place in the past, but how far in the past? Was that the reason that the sort of – what's it called? Things on the, you know, the cave drawings were there. Why did the guy kill himself with the stuff? That scene sort of sets the tone, but it's just never ever referenced back. So that was my first big question.
It's not referenced back, and it's interesting because Ridley Scott, we have an interview over on movies.com with him, and we ask him, was that our planet? Is that supposed to be planet Earth, that he's spreading his seed and is at the beginning of life on Earth? And he says, here's his direct quote, "No, it doesn't have to be. That could be anywhere. That could be a planet anywhere. All he's doing is acting as a gardener in space, and the plant life, in fact, is a disintegration of himself." If you parallel that idea with other sacramental elements in history, which are clearly illustrated with the Mayans and the Incas, he would live for 1 year as a prince, and at the end of that year, he would be taken and donated to the gods in hopes of improving what might happen next year, be it with crops or weather, etc. And he goes on a little bit in that quote. But he's saying that that doesn't need to be Earth. That can just be anything, and that's sort of setting up, I guess, what the job is for these engineers, is that their job is to travel to distant planets and sort of sacrifice themselves and spread their seed to
start with. Why do they have to sacrifice themselves? Why can't he just go there and do that? What exactly did he do? We just saw him kill himself.
I was under the impression through the film that this catalyst, this goo, this raw DNA or whatever, had to be combined with something else in order to evolve. And so I took it that that was Earth, and he was sacrificing himself to create all life, because we get that close-up at the title card of what seems to be human DNA and usual symbiosis happening. But I don't know.
I think fundamentally the reason it's there is because it looks cool. Ridley Scott's a visual filmmaker, and he put together a hell of a pre-title sequence. And, I think this whole enterprise was something that was created first as a studio package first and a film second. You know, originally they were going to have to do the property of Alien as a prequel. Then he wanted to distance it. He had a script. He threw it at Lindelof and said, here, make this make sense. And they rewrote it. And, next thing you know, they're shooting. And I don't think they have an answer. And I don't think they're trying to put the wool over all of our eyes by pretending that it's all ambiguous in, like, 2001 A Space Odyssey. Whereas that's ambiguous, you know, in its themes. But Prometheus is ambiguous in the very story structure, which you can't have questions about the pre-title sequence when the movie's over. Then, you know, you have a problem.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we're also kind of ignoring the bigger question is, why do they look so much like Dr. Manhattan? which is what I immediately thought. I was like, why is Dr. Manhattan in this film?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
They look real cool. I'll tell you that. It looks great.
Go ahead, Jermaine.
No, I was just going to say, I don't want to skip my turn, but yeah, I mean, just the whole characters of the engineers, like their purpose, their motives – is all just left completely up to, you know, your imagination. And I know I read a quote, it might have been on your site, it might have been somewhere else, where they said that that was going to be sort of the plot of the second film if there was one. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, one of the things that we also talked about, and it was one of my questions, is why do these engineers want to come back and destroy us? And there are a lot of some elements before that that they also pick up. How does Idris Elba know that that they're trying to manufacture mass weapons of destruction? I mean, he, in his own words, quote unquote, he's just a pilot. You know, how does he know all these things? And so how do they figure out that that's what their intentions are, that they're going to come back to Earth and destroy us? But I know that in an earlier version of the script, they were going to include Jesus Christ as the catalyst on why they're coming back, because the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Even Ridley says in the last answer here in the interview, it was a little too on the nose, and so they didn't use Jesus as that catalyst. But I think that's kind of where they were going with it, sort of that we had become too unruly of a people, and they had to put a stop to that, I guess, is that where. But I guess some of those themes may be in the sequel. Will.
Yes.
What's your biggest unanswered question? What's your best answer for it?
I almost feel like we just kind of tackled it with why did they want to destroy the Earth, and the thing is I couldn't come up with much of an answer, but that interview did corroborate what I had heard, which was that initially one of the engineers came back and was greeted hostily, and then he decided, oh, we need to kind of reset our experiment there on Earth. But still, he really goes on to imply that maybe just the Roman Empire happening was cause enough, and yet there's no evidence of that in the film. There's nothing inside the text to make you think, oh, there's a reason they want to destroy their little experiment. Yeah. And that's why I have to take that what we see at the beginning is Earth being colonized, because if not, then it's just some other rock. And I don't like the idea that there's even less of a correlation between the events of this film than there already is. My other question was going to be how the pictograms or cave paintings were left behind unless they came back and visited, because otherwise that first engineer sacrifices himself and nobody exists yet to see him.
So
And why would you leave behind this message for a people that you intend to ultimately wipe out?
Well, that's funny. I mean, maybe they left the message thinking they weren't going to wipe them out. I didn't think of that. Or it could be that they imprinted early man with the desire to create these images, you know, kind of like in Close Encounters, how he's making the mountain or something like that. That's something that I was thinking. But, you know, it's funny because now I hadn't read these interviews with Ridley Scott about, you know, his reasons for why the architects would want to kill off humanity. Mostly I didn't read them because I'm mad at the guy. I don't want to read anything he says right now. But, you know, I didn't know that. And funnily enough, that's the one unanswered question that I don't have a beef with. I kind of like the fact that we, like Noomi Rapace's character, are at the end going, why? I need to know why. Because, you know, that's a very fundamental question. Why was I put on this earth only to leave it X amount of years later? That's I can buy that one. The thing you mentioned about Idris Elba suddenly coming in like Basil Exposition, explaining that this was a weapons ground. I go, whoa, I didn't know that. I've been paying attention. I'm pretty smart. Yeah. That one bugged. And that one felt like, you know, a big fat studio note. Like, you got to explain something. And the other thing that was a big fat studio note was that fight scene that happens when that dude comes back from the dead and tries to get back in and everybody starts killing each other, which I didn't mind because, frankly, it was a bit of a snoozy movie. You know, there wasn't a lot of fighting, a lot of action, which is okay because it was more cerebral. But tell me, guys, do you disagree? Was that a big studio note, or do you think that was in the original?
Yeah, I mean, and that's one of my questions. Why does Sean Harris's character become possessed by the ooze when nowhere else in the film or in the subsequent Alien lore is it even hinted at that they can reanimate?
Well, the way that I read the fact that guy came back was that these maggots that you see briefly become these like snake things because they sort of react positively to this black goo. The one kills Rafe Spall's character by, like, you know, going in his mouth. And I thought somehow the other one, maybe that character, you know, made the other guy a monster. I wasn't sure exactly how or why that all happened, but I thought that was my progression that I saw.
Well, I think the idea is everything the ooze touches, it just has a variable result. And so the one guy is just inseminated, and, you know, every time that we see any sort of creature come from it, it takes on a different form. And so I think that with him, he just turned into a kind of generic zombie being and had to take out the rest of the red shirts on the crew of 17 that we otherwise get to ignore and not acknowledge.
Yeah, I mean, I wish there was any way to corroborate this, but I feel so certain that it was a head of production at 20th Century Fox said, a big red arrow, insert action scene here, because the movie needed a little pick-me-up at that point. Yeah. And it was a good action scene. I liked it.
It was a fun action scene, and I think that kind of it circles back to what you were talking about with the original Alien. I think that a lot of people are comparing it to the original Alien, but I feel like this is a film for a different kind of audience. This is a summer blockbuster audience. This is an audience that, you know, you need your money shot every here and there. And I just feel like it's for an audience that maybe doesn't expect more, I guess, is a way to say it. I mean, maybe that's why you know what I'm saying, guys?
Yeah, no, so you're 100% on the money. And I think that, you know, the first Alien is one of the best horror films ever made. Aliens, James Cameron's, is a great action picture. It still holds up to this day. This movie does not really fit into either of those two categories. And I would not be surprised if people leave the theaters and they give it a low score. What do they call it when they give the score when they walk out of the theater?
Cinema score.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised that it is lower than it's going to be kind of low, which is not to say because like you say, it tries to do different things. It tries to be heavy. It tries to be cerebral. It somewhat succeeds, somewhat fails, but it's not James Cameron's Aliens.
No, it's not. And we have a couple of more questions that what we want to tackle. And we'll do that in the next part. So just go down below and you'll see part two. Hold on.